Hello and welcome back to The World in 5 Minutes. My name is Morris and I am the host for today. So this episode is going to be an English episode mainly focused on the topic of the Taiwanese presidential elections that just happened in the past weekend. So as many of you may have known, the Taiwanese presidential election was held on the Saturday, January 13th, and the results were announced the same day in the evening. So to give a little bit of context, the Taiwanese presidential election is one of the elections in the world that would take place in 2024, and is one of the first in the year. And the reason why it is so important to the world is because the of course, Taiwan has always been in play in between the U.S.-China relationship as well as the geopolitics within the Indo-Pacific region and across the Taiwan Strait for sure. So the election would have different meanings and implications to both the United States as well as the counterparts in Beijing and the People's Republic of China. So as we can see from the previous elections, usually China and U.S. closely watches the election. They have their own agendas and preferences. However, they claim that they do not interfere with the elections that take place in Taiwan. So just to give a brief overview of the results of the past election, the election that just happened, the pro-Taiwan, the party, DPP, the Democratic Progressive Party, won the election in terms of the presidential race. So DPP's previous current vice president, Lai Ching-te, will be the president from May this year. But however, as they won with a lesser vote, I think it was around 40% of the votes, he would be a weaker president, a minority president, compared to Tsai Ing-wen, who won with I think more than 57 or almost close to 60% in the elections that took place 4 years ago. And another reason is being that the real power in a lot of these democratic countries and systems lies within the parliament and the congress of the countries. So in this case, as the KMT has most seats in the parliament, or what we so-call the legislative yuan in Taiwan, they would have a stronger say. Although they are not over half of the seats, they do not have a majority in the legislative yuan, but they still have more of the seats. And I think it's something around 54 to 51 or 50, but none of them crosses the 57 line. So this comes This is one of the coming issues that the next government will face. Since in the past 8 years, DPP has an advantage in whichever they will want to propose, whatever laws they will want to pass, because they had a majority in the parliament, and this would help them facilitate their policies and agendas. However, in the upcoming 4 years, they would need to negotiate, and of course, there will be places where they will have to compromise. They will have to negotiate with the other two parties. So, as I mentioned, both KMT and DPP would have around 51 or 54 seats in the legislative yuan, but this comes down to the third party, which has became the third biggest party in legislative yuan, which is the Taiwan's People Party, led by Dr. Ko Wen-je. Although he did not win he didn't win the presidential election overall, but his results were already pretty remarkable as a first-time president runner, as well as a first-time president candidate. He did win quite a bit of votes, around 27%, which is something that a lot of people would have not expected a first-time presidential candidate would be able to secure. And this is also a good starting stone and a good foundation for him if he's going to run for office again in the next 4 years, so in 2028. However, as they are now the most important minority in the Congress, since they would have the say, since they will be the key minority, because whichever party wants to pass their version of the act or their version of the law would have to get the votes from the legislator is representing at the Taiwanese People Party. So in this way, they would have a lot of say in terms of how they will want to set up their position in the next 4 years, because they will have to vote for the what they so-called the leader of the parliament, which is similar to the House of the Speakers. But this would have to come down to a negotiation. I don't think either the blue or the green, the DPP or KMT, would be able to would be willing to surrender the seat to TPP, which is Taiwanese People Party. But in a way, they could use this opportunity of support to exchange for something else that's beyond a deputy seat, that's beyond a vice speaker seat. They could exchange it for certain positions within the cabinet, certain executive positions within the next administration. This would also help them to build a better foundation, as well as demonstrate their ability to run within the administration, because this is something that's lacking for their party. They do not have a central administration experience, and that is something of concern to many voters as well. So overall, I don't think this is the election that everybody expected, and it is quite hard to predict the results. And of course, in terms of cross-strait relations and the regional geopolitics, China is not going to be willing to engage with the DPP directly with any kind of, directly or indirectly with any sort of dialogue and any sort of communication, because the DPP would continue to reject what is so-called the 1992 consensus, which is something that the KMT has upheld in the past years, which allowed for cross-strait communications. But what the DPP is saying is that the version of 1992 consensus that the KMT is claiming is completely different than the version that Beijing or Xi Jinping has been talking about in his previous statements. So such miscommunication or lack of communication between the two sides could lead to more miscommunication, as well as a lot of possible wrong judgment, which is increasing the danger of the stability in the area. So I think this is something that if the next DPP government would be able to establish dialogue and communication with Beijing, that would be something that that is pretty amazing, which Tsai Ing-wen was able to do in the past 8 years. But I think pretty much the option is up to Beijing, because their key is that if the DPP administration is willing to surrender or agree to the 1992 consensus, then there will be opportunity to engage in dialogue. But but I don't think that will be likely to happen, at least in the couple of months or years to come. So I think at this moment, what the US and what the international world is paying close attention to is how stable the region will continue throughout the next couple of months, once the power is transitioned and transferred to Lai Ching-te, how he will manage the cross-strait relationship as well as other international relationships. Because as of today, last night or yesterday, the Republic of Nauru was severed their diplomatic relationship with the Republic of China Taiwan, and they are going to switch their diplomatic recognition to the People's Republic of China, and that is something I believe is it's part of China's plan in terms of reaction to this election, by taking away Taiwan's remaining diplomatic allies after the election. It is sending a message to the people that you will have to eventually surrender, you will eventually have to give up all these diplomatic allies, international support. But I mean, at the same time, that it does hurt a little bit for Taiwan's diplomatic stance in the international world. But at the same time, a lot of the support that Taiwan relies on is not from these diplomatic countries. I mean, from my perspective, having the Republic of Nauru as a diplomatic ally, other than having somebody recognizing you, they don't serve much purpose in terms of maintaining the regional stability as well as helping with deterrence in the Taiwan Strait. Because the only reason that the biggest player of deterrence within the area is the U.S. and Japan, because China would not want to engage in any sort of military conflict if they know that U.S. and Japan will come to strong support of the country. So I think this is something that would have to be watched in the coming month and coming years, how these relationship will change. And of course, something that a lot of people is paying close attention to is the U.S. election that will happen in November this year. So if Donald Trump is re-elected as president, or if Joe Biden continues his administration, which will have significant impact on how the regional policies, the international politics would continue to go on. So there was a lot of unpredictabilities, but I do think that in the meantime, nothing much would happen or change, because since, of course, he's not in office yet. And there are more issues that you have to face in terms of domestic politics, the economy, the people's discouragement towards the ability to buy houses, or a lot of different domestic issues, long-term care, and a lot of other issues that have been mentioned in the election. Even like energy and power supply will be a key issue in the coming years. So this is something I think he would have to deal with and put a lot of time and focus on in the first couple of months. And then of course international politics would be also constantly changing at the same time. Anyways, this is a brief overview and recap of the current international politics. And this is something that I believe would be influential and impacting the world. And I believe China would take more actions in the coming month in reaction to his inauguration in May. And that is something that we'll have to closely watch, and people will have to be aware and be cautious about. Thank you so much for spending the time with me today. I hope you have enjoyed this English episode of the podcast. And please let me know if you would like more English podcasts and episodes. I will be really happy to make more and record more of these. So thank you so much. I'll see you next time.